Let the church say amen. God has been good once again. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Let us try and remember that God is always good, and sometimes we're not as good as we should be. But thanks be to God that He will bless us if we just go to Him and ask Him to bless us for His blessings and ask Him for His forgiveness. So with that said, it's good to see all of you this morning. It's good to be here this morning. God has given us a bright new day for us to consider in our lives once again. And we ought to be thankful and rejoice in it. For this is His day. This morning we're going to talk about to lose is to gain. To lose is to gain. Now this morning, before we go very much farther, let us remember those that are sick and the shut-in. Let us remember to reach out to them. Let us remember to make contact with them, if at all possible. Let us take a few moments and go to God in prayer right now. O Lord, our gracious and heavenly Father, You have blessed us, O Lord, and we thank You for the blessings of this day. Father, when we went to bed on last night, we didn't know if we were going to get up or not, but You have blessed us to get up and to be a part of a new day. Father, we're so eternally grateful for all that You do for us. Father, we come praying this morning, asking You to be with us throughout these services that we are entering into. Thank You for the part that has just been completed, the parts that have been completed, and we pray for the parts yet to come. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for our leaders in this congregation, and we pray for them and their families as well. We pray for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and for those that shall come from this point on. We pray for their families as well. We thank You and we pray for those who are sick and shut in and not able to be with us today. But we pray that You would give them their health and their strength that they may be able to return to us once again. Father, we pray for those who might yet be on their way to getting here. We pray and ask You that if it be Thy will, that You would allow them safe passage. As we pray for those who might be traveling today, we ask for safe passage to them and that they may have a safe return once again to be back with us once again. Father in heaven, we thank You that one day You sent Jesus, Your Son, Your only begotten Son, into this world to hang, to bleed, and to die, that we might yet have opportunity for the tree of life, to receive the tree of life and everlasting life. Father in heaven, we thank You this morning for being so wonderful to us when we're not all the time even wonderful to ourselves. But yet You take care of us, O Lord. Just as the birds who fly in the air, You take care of them. You also take care of those who walk the earth here. We thank You, Father. My Heavenly Father, as we move on now into these services, be with us, watch over us, and keep us. And thank You for the one who went to yonder's cross on our behalf. We thank Him and thank You for it all. It is in Your Son Jesus' name we ask for it all. Amen. This morning the scripture reading was read for your hearing from the book of Acts, the 9th chapter, starting at verse number 6. And continuing on, we've got to understand when one becomes a Christian, we lose some things, but we also find some things. When we look to the Bible, we find out that once we become believers in Christ, we gain much more than that in which we lose. We can look at the old soldier of the Bible for our example. In our text, we find a proud and zealous man named Saul, who took on the role of persecutor of the Lord's believers in the Lord's church. Even though he was a proud man, he found out he had much more to gain than what he was about to lose. Look at the text in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any in his of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Paul was Paul, as he became, he was still Saul before his name was changed. He was about to learn that he may lose some things, but he was going to gain much better things. He was a religious man. Not only was he a religious man, he was a sincere and a dedicated man. Just like we ought to be, or we should be. But I want you to notice in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 4 where the Bible says, Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other think that he has wherefore trust in the flesh, I more. He felt proud and boasted on being a Jew and a Pharisee. His resume was outstanding. A Jew being a Jew was his birthright. A Jew of the tribe of Benjamin. Proud of being a Hebrew of Hebrews. Born to Jewish parents. He was a Pharisee. Brought up under Gamaliel. And Gamaliel, as we know from Acts chapter 5, was a doctor of the law. So Saul was proud of his educational upbringing. He was proud of his heritage. But verse number 6 tells us how really proud he was. He said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He was an active man. He was a man in his active in his own religion, blameless by man's law. All of this was before he met Jesus, where he would lose his religion and turn to God, the only true religion there ever was and there ever will be. What did he lose? Well, he lost his status. He lost his friends, those whom he loved, those who loved him. These same people would soon try to kill him after he met Jesus, of course. Many today won't become believers in Christ because they are afraid of losing some things. They are afraid of losing their friends, for one. I may as well tell you, I had the same problem when I first wanted to become a Christian. I wondered, what was I going to do without those friends of mine that I used to hang around with? I wondered what would happen to my relationship with them. But then I realized I was forming a better relationship than with those friends of mine. But then, when I finally made up my mind and became a Christian, I said to myself, if they were really friends to begin with, they ought to be able to accept my newfound beliefs. Some people need to watch what they do and what they say when they say that they're religious. They need to watch what Saul said after he became Paul, a believer in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in the verses number 24 through verse number 27, the Bible says that Paul, he lost his comfortable... The Bible says, let me turn to that before I go any further. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 27, look what the Bible says, 24 through 27. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day. I have been in the deep, in journeyings, often in perils of water, perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, in perils by the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watching, often in hunger and thirst and fasting, often in cold and nakedness. In verse number 28, besides those things that are without, that which come upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He lost some things, but he gained so much more. And if you'll notice his statement in Philippians chapter 1 in the verses number 21, where he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. His life became Christ, and his death would have meant gain to him. We should be happy to live in Christ, and to know that death will bring gain to us. We gain by losing. We gain when we lose our old ways and start a new life in Christ. You know, it's never been said of anyone that they hate that they became Christians. I don't know of anyone who can make that statement, because they've got to understand that when you gain something, you may have to lose something in order to gain something else. But I tell you something, when we gain Christ, we have gained everything, church. So then, when I considered this matter, I found out that he was beaten and he was stoned by some of those same people who was his friend, his own countrymen. He lost that. But he gained so much more. Just like Saul, who became Paul, we too can become a new person. Jesus can change our old past to bring us into new beginnings. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verses number 17, therefore, take note of that word, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Now that's old things are passed away. All things are become new. We can become new creatures. Now, I may as well just explain this. I think I've explained it before, but I'm going to explain it again. When you go down in this water right here, when you go down in this watery grave of baptism, the blood of Christ is in the water. It meets the water, and you meet that blood of Christ in the water. Now, you become a new creature. You don't look any better when you come out, but you might be happier on the inside. You know, if you go down with bad feet, when you come up, you're still going to have bad feet. But you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You've got to learn to live a different lifestyle then. You've got to walk differently. You've got to talk differently. You've got to be at church each and every Lord's Day. Or whenever the doors open. That includes Bible class. You ought to be here on Wednesday night. And I'm not going to tell you how good things are on Wednesday night, but I just say you ought to be here with us. Then you ought to get here on Sunday morning so you can be a part of the Bible class. You need to understand that Bible class opens a new avenue for us. Bible class means I can hold up my hand and say, I got a question, brother teacher. See, I can't do that right now. Because this, as I've often said, is almost a one-man show. I've got the floor right now. I can't answer your questions now. Hopefully during the lesson I can answer some questions you may have in your mind. But Bible class opens up a whole new venture for you. We become new creatures. Our hearts become new. Our nature or our walk will become new. We gain a new disposition. We gain power over sin. We can then ask the same question that someone wrote and asked, that someone wrote these words in Romans 6 and verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The answer can be found in verse number 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him. I told you we get buried in baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Didn't I tell you have to walk differently? When one becomes a Christian, one gains the ability to walk in the newness of life with Christ. Sin shall no longer have its power over you. And let me just explain that. Yes, even Christians can fall back into their old sinful ways. But Christ becomes our advocate and we can go to Him to break sin's grip over us. When we meet Jesus, He gives purpose and meaning to our lives. In John chapter 10, in the verses number 10, the Bible says the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Oh, Jesus brings life to us abundantly. And you ought to consider, if you haven't considered Christ, I suggest you consider Christ this morning. And how do you consider Christ? Well, you ought to consider Him to be a part of your life and your walk in life. Becoming a Christian can bring a person new meaning in life as well as remove that sting of death. Jesus has already taken the stinger. You know, it's been said that if a bee stings you, he won't do that again because he loses his stinger. He no longer can sting. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. That's what I heard. I don't want to be around for it to see if he can sting me again. I hope that after he stings me the first time, we both go our way. And not to be bothered with one another again. But Jesus has done just that. He has taken away the sting of death. Though we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, it doesn't mean we have to fear death, for Jesus has taken that the pain and discomfort away from us in death. Oh, that doesn't mean that you're not going to die. Because we're all going to die. We all, if we live, we are going to die. And death is not easy to explain to people all the time. It's not a pleasant subject that people talk about. But you've got to understand that we're all going there. We're all going to be there at that point one day. And every time we go to a funeral, especially as we start to age a little bit, we say things like, "All my friends are gone now. I only got a couple." I was talking to a person on the phone one day this past week. He said, "Everybody I used to hang around with, they're either so sick they can't get out of bed or they're gone to bed forever." So death comes as a part of living. And we've got to understand it now. Now, death doesn't mean that that's the end. It just simply means that's the end of life. But you still got an eternal soul that you have to deal with, and that Jesus one day is going to judge. We have to understand that Jesus, our soul goes back to the Lord, and our bodies go back to the dust from whence we came. Jesus enriches and secures our lives. He provides a secure future for us. When we come to Jesus, we gain something that no one else can offer us. And somebody may say, "Well, what is that, preacher, that we gain?" That's a friend. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 24. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now, I don't know how close a brother may stick, but from the brothers I know, some of them don't get together at all. Some brothers will say, "I can't stand my brother." But then there are others who, they're so close, they're almost having the same thoughts one to another. But Jesus sticks closer than a brother. What does it take to be friends with Jesus? Well, if you'll notice in John chapter 15, starting at verse number 13, the Bible says, Jesus said in the Bible, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." Now, that's a friend. Because I wouldn't do it. I've told you that before. But I wouldn't do it, but Jesus laid down his life for a friend. When he spoke to his disciples, he wanted them to know that if they were obedient to his will, they would also be his friend. When we do his will, he will also be our friend today. In verse number 14, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Isn't that wonderful to know that Jesus will be a friend to us? And I don't know if you understand the term friend. Now, a friend is not one who takes you out for a drink every so often. Because that kind of friend knows that you're going to return the favor and buy him a drink sometime. I'm not talking about that kind of friend. I'm not talking about the kind of friend who, when you get in trouble, who'll be there for you. I'm talking about a friend who's closer than that. A friend who can go with you through this life and into the next life. That's the kind of friend I'm talking about. Jesus will become the secure future we need in our lives today as well as tomorrow. Somebody said, well, how do we know this? His word teaches us in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28, for we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. I used to hear that so often quoted to me, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it that when people would say that to me. They would say that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. And I asked myself that question, is that really true? But then when I considered the fact of how good and great God really is to us, I considered it to be true, for I know it was true because the Bible says it. And there's no untruth in the Bible, in the Word of God. God cannot lie. So we know that the Word of God is the truth. So when we go back and we look at the text once again, we look at what the Bible says and where Saul had been persecuting the church and he had been, as long as he was persecuting the church, he was well liked by his countrymen, for they all believed in the same thing. But when he turned and when he changed, and I like this part right here, when the Bible says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice, in verse number 4 of Acts chapter 9, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And look what he said. And he said, who art thou, Lord? He knew, but he wanted to know again. He said, who art thou, Lord? He knew who was talking to him. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And trembling and astonished, he knew what to do. He asked the Lord, what will thou have me to do? He knew what to ask. And the Lord said unto him, arise. Go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, I surmise to you there that was the beginning of change that was coming to Saul. Saul would never be the same, and you won't be the same if you sincerely go down into the watery grave of baptism. If we want a secure future, we need to come to Jesus, for He is the rock of security. He is the rock that can be in your life as well as in my life. He is a rock of rocks. He is the Christ, the living God. He is the one who can secure our future. That is Christ Jesus. By coming to Jesus, we may lose a few things, but we gain so much more. We gain a master who has prepared for us a heavenly home according to John chapter 14. We gain everlasting life, as in John 5 and 24. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. We gain someone who will stick with us when all others leave us. We gain someone who will go through life's troubles and be with us in death. We gain someone who sits on the right hand of God and maketh intercessions for us. According to Romans 8 and 34, we gain whom Paul calls in Romans 15 and 13, the God of hope. We gain Christ. We gain Christ in you, which is the hope of glory, according to Colossians 1 and 27. We have lively hope of Christ because He is our resurrection, because of His resurrection, according to 1 Peter 1 and verse number 27. So I ask the question this morning, have you made up your mind and decided to come to Jesus? Do you want to lose some things that may be troubling for you, some things that may bring you down, but you want to gain something that might lift you up, I surmise to you this morning, you need to come to Jesus. You need to come to Jesus, for there's nobody else who can offer what Jesus can offer us. He can offer us life, everlasting, eternal life. He can offer us the best of this life. And oh, some folk as Christians get it confused sometimes. They say, I shouldn't have any more troubles now that I'm a Christian. Oh no, your troubles are just now about to start. Oh yeah, you think you had troubles before. You think that your paycheck was short before. Well, your paycheck may get even shorter now that you've come to Christ. But I tell you something about coming to Christ. If you suffer a little bit now and then go to God in the future when we have to leave this place, there's a judgment that's going to come, and you may be rewarded in the judgment of eternal life or everlasting life. So then the question becomes, as I bring this to a close now, the question becomes, if you don't know Him, what are you waiting for? If you don't know Him today, and I know what some say, well, I'll just do better tomorrow if I just wait until tomorrow. Well, you're not promised tomorrow. If you were sure of tomorrow, you'd be just as sure about your future life as anybody else would. But I don't know what's going to come tomorrow. You don't know what's going to come tomorrow. I wish I did. Because the first thing I'd wish for is, like most of you, I'd wish for more money. Then I ask myself, do you want better health? You know, you don't know how good your health really is until it starts deteriorating on you. And if after you start to age a little bit, you just go to the doctor if you don't think it's going to deteriorate. If it's not deteriorating, the doctor's going to make it deteriorate. Excuse me, Sister Bell. The doctor's going to make it deteriorate for you. He's going to tell you that something hurts that you never knew that you even had. And He's going to want to tell you that you may have to cut it out. And I'm going to face Him just like my grandmother used to say, it's mine, I'm going to keep it. I don't want you to cut it out, because if I cut it out, I might miss something. Regardless of you telling me, I might not have any more pain and aches. But I tell you something. I know a better doctor. I know the best doctor. Do you remember some years back when the doctor performed the first heart transplant? Now it's almost common practice that you can get a transplant. But I know a doctor who can give you a new heart without cutting out the blood pump that's in your body. I know a doctor that can ease all your sufferings and all your pain. I know a doctor that we're all going to have to meet one day. One day every knee shall bow when we're going to have to stand before Him. So you may as well get to know Him while you can, because after you leave this place, it's too late. Do you remember Lazarus in the rich man? Do you remember how that he wanted somebody to deliver a message back to the world of the living for him? Well, you won't be able to deliver messages back anymore. You've got to live with the message that you lived while you were living. And once you die, that's it. Now, I tell you, dying is not the worst part of it all. It's the part where we have to get up again. That's the judgment. That's what we need to be concerned about. Concerned about how will I get up? And if you didn't live right, guess what? You're not going to get up right. And if you don't get up right, you're not going to go to the right place. So I say to you this morning, if you haven't met Jesus, you need to meet Him. You need to come to Him. You need to lose some things that's troubling you, some dead weight that may be bothering you. You can lose that dead weight by coming to Jesus and then being baptized in the watery grave of baptism. Now, I know some of us, many of us, most of us probably in here are already members of the Lord's church. But sometimes we go astray. Even the best of us as Christians can go astray. And sometimes we don't understand what's going on in our lives. And we start to going backwards sometimes. And we just don't know what to do. We say we don't know what to do, but we know what we should do. And that's go to the Lord in prayer. If you fell backwards, you need to ask the Lord to forgive you, walk forward, ask the church to pray for you. But if you've never met Him, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Brother Jackson is ready today to baptize you. He's always ready. The water is always ready. The water is ready, summer, winter, spring, or fall. We can baptize you and you can walk in the newness of life. You can become a new creature. This is your desire as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.